Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Working Overtime, Working's bi-weekly advice-focused Grogu to Working's Mandalorian. I'm your host, Karen Hahn.
I'm your other host, June Thomas, and I'm going to pretend like I'm so hip. I absolutely get that.
Well, I'm sure you've seen Grogu before. You definitely know of Baby Yoda, yeah. Which I think is enough.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have a vague sense. I couldn't pass an exam about it, but I know what world it belongs to and all of that. So sure.
If I showed you a picture, you'd be like, that's him. So exactly.
Mandalorian.
Yeah. Which is enough. Yeah. Here's the thing. I know you can ace this quiz if you put your mind to it. And I think that relates pretty well to the topic I want to talk about today, which is something we've touched on a lot on this show, but maybe not totally tried diving into. And that is how to be kinder to ourselves. Ooh. I think this principle comes up a lot. We've talked about feeling guilty about taking breaks, for instance. But in this particular case, I wanted to talk about being kind to oneself with specific regard to the feeling that you're not accomplishing enough. I know I've had this feeling a lot. Have you, June?
Oh, Karen, I definitely have. And it can be really tricky because I am very conscious that feeling bad about being insufficiently productive does absolutely nothing to solve the problem. In fact, it makes it worse.
Yeah.
But knowing that doesn't necessarily get me out of that particular, you know, mental Ouroboros. It's totally maddening.
I totally agree, which brings me to my next question, which is, do you have anything in particular that you'll do when that feeling gets to you? I don't think this feeling has a cure-all, really, but I think like the act of taking a walk to clear your head, there are at least some temporary fixes out there.
Yeah, I agree. I think the key, in my experience, is to put yourself in a situation that is just different on some fundamental level from your routine or usual situation, taking a walk, taking a shower. I've even dreamed about going to a remote location and screaming, you know, because when you do those things, you're outside, you're in a cascade of water, or, you know, you're far from the madding crowd yelling at the sky.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes to find like the smaller scale or like more immediately possible solutions.
Yes.
And I think this feeling is also particularly hard to avoid when you're working on something that involves other people and is slowed down, so to speak, in that way, because you're waiting on them to do something, or when you're working on something long term. For instance, when working on my book, there were definitely days where I would have written throughout the day, but then at the end, feel like I hadn't done anything because I hadn't finished a chapter or something like that, which would in itself be a lot given that the chapters in my book were expected to run around 5,000 words. But I still felt that way.
Right.
Have you encountered this in working on your book, or do you have a healthier outlook on it?
Oh, God. Yeah, I always have a healthy. No, I definitely have had that experience. And, you know, it's so frustrating because, like, I've put in the hours, I've achieved deep focus, and I feel good about the work that I've done, but I still can get down on myself because I, quote unquote, don't have anything to show for it. And having something to show for it generally means a word count or a page count that I'd kind of set for myself. And that is just wrong. And I think it's really hard to kind of waste your time. You always have something to show for it, right? And even if the unlikely event that you spent all day working, you felt kind of productive, but actually what you had written wasn't usable, that actually also has helped you because, you know, finding the wrong words or the wrong structure is a step to the right words and the right structure. So I think it's a goal problem. If what you need to do on a particular day or at a particular stage of the process involves, for example, research or editing or figuring out structure rather than putting words on the page, then you have to find a goal for yourself that isn't about word count.
You are totally on the money. Some progress is tangible, other kinds of progress aren't, and you have to learn to kind of distinguish that.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break, but we'll be right back with a little more advice on how to make yourself feel better about the work that you've done.
What's the best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day in everyday situations. But if that's not on the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. I've used apps in the past to learn new languages, but when I came across Babbel, I wondered if it could help me refresh my knowledge of a language I once spoke well, but was now a little bit or quite a lot rusty. I have to say, I was impressed. The advanced lessons were really useful, tips and idioms that can help with in-depth conversations on topics that I can actually imagine chatting about. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel is designed by real people for real conversations, and the tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. What's more, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for working listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for working listeners, at babbel.com/working. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/working, spelled BABBEL.com/working. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Hey, listeners, is there a particular creative struggle you'd like to hear us tackle? Let us know by emailing us at working@slate.com, or even better, you can call us and leave a message at 304-933-9675. That's 304-933-WORK.
So we were just talking about how to make progress feel more tangible. And I think one of the major things that comes up in terms of accomplishing this is making a to-do list. You get to check things off on your list as you go. And that simple act lends you a sense of accomplishment, especially if you take the trouble to break the big tasks you have down into smaller parts. And I wanted to know, June, are you a to-do list keeper, and why or why not?
Karen, I am 100%. A to-do list keeper. You know, I do like having that rush from reminding yourself what you've achieved, as you just described. I think that's really important. But also, as David Allen, the author of Getting Things Done, famously put it, your mind is for having ideas, not holding them. If you have any hope of achieving a focused state for writing or whatever your thing is, you have to be able to get unrelated thoughts out of your head so they don't intrude when you're trying to concentrate. And the way that I am able to do that is to write them down. Like, it could be on a paper, it could be in an app, but just get that stuff out of your head. And then, of course, there's kind of another part of this, which is you do have to consult your list and actually do the things. Mm-hmm. But I actually think that getting them out of your head and doing them are really two different parts of the process. They're almost unrelated for me. What about you?
I totally agree with what you said about in writing the thing you have to do down and then accomplishing it. And in a small way, like, even finishing your to-do list is like a little accomplishment.
Totally.
That day. You're like, oh, like, I've done this task that I have to do. That said, I am not really a to-do list keeper, but that is not for thinking that it doesn't work for me. It's just that I'm very bad at reminding myself to do things like that, which is maybe the whole point of having a to-do list to begin with. But I do have a follow-up to-do list question, which is, do you believe in putting personal to-do things on there, or do you believe in keeping it just work-related? Because I know some people put personal reminders on their to-do lists, like doing the laundry or even smaller self-care tasks, like going to go take a walk or drinking enough water.
I do. And mostly because the capture function, you know, the getting the ideas out of your head and into whatever system you use, it needs to be complete. So whatever it is that I'm focused on, and again, it doesn't have to be writing. It could be watching a movie or going out to dinner with friends. I don't want to feel that there are random ideas or, you know, uncaptured tasks floating around my head like a swarm of butterflies getting in the way of the film or the conversation. And the way that I achieve that is just to write them down.
That's nice that it also offers you some clarity, like throughout your day, not just in terms of what you have to do, but just kind of reassurance in a way. Again, I usually don't keep a to-do list myself, but I do like taking stock at the end of a given year or period of what I've gotten done. And that tends to make me feel a little better or feel kind of similarly, I think. Mm. It's sort of a reverse to-do list in that respect. It's a I've done this list. Do you do anything like that? Or does this kind of get wrapped up into the idea of New Year's resolutions or something like that?
So I also love to look back at the end of the year. To me, it's really fun, you know, to look at achievements of various kinds, you know, what you very nicely described as a reverse to-do list. I mean, what books did I read? What podcasts did I make? What did I learn? You know, it all sounds a little bit earnest, but like that makes me feel good. I definitely emphasize the what went well side of things.
Of course.
But I do also find it useful to at least note the things that didn't go well and think about what I could do to address those situations. You know, do I have responsibilities that routinely bring me down? Do I keep stumbling on one particular task or area of my life or responsibilities? And if so, it's really a good thing to ask yourself, do I really have to keep doing those things? I mean, the answer might be yes, but I want to at least try to figure out if I can remove negative experiences from my life. And some of those things might become New Year resolutions, but resolutions feel more like they're about habits rather than big life changes. So I tend to think of New Year's resolutions as fun and all, but, you know, more just like a habit rather than anything bigger.
Yeah, that's a really wonderful way of framing those ideas. We are going to take another little break, but we'll be back with our final thoughts on not beating yourself up too hard after this.
Listeners, I just want to remind you that if you're enjoying Working Overtime, please subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, we'd love you to rate or review the show. It really does help new listeners to find us. And if Overcast is your app of choice, as it is for me, please hit the star to recommend the episode to others.
Okay, so I think there's also a broader question that we can talk about that's related to this topic of kind of being kind to yourself about your accomplishments, which is how we set barometers for our own success, which I think you sort of touched on this earlier, because ultimately we're feeling bad about this stuff because we haven't met whatever standard that we've set, right?
Yes. Yeah, totally. It's just really easy to have your goals be about the final stage of a project. I'm going to have my pitch greenlit. It's all about when my book comes out. But there are so many steps along the way and so many other people involved and so many potential random events that could get in the way that just make that inadvisable and it's kind of self-defeating. At the same time, I also think it's important to keep yourself on track. You know, if you have a deadline that is, oh, I don't know, let's just randomly say January 31st. January 21st would not be a good time to be wondering if you're going to meet it. So breaking things down to a series of milestones so that you can have the reassurance that you're on track, or if you're not, so you can figure out how to fix that, will really help you, again, like feel good about yourself. Yeah. And then there's one more part to this that, you know, it kind of goes back to something I said a little while ago, and I think it's really hard for people to hear this or, you know, to face, which it has been for me anyway. is that I think it is also good for us as humans who deserve happiness to be constantly asking ourselves, is this what I really want to be doing? And, you know, if you decide that it's not, then you have to make a plan to change. Unless you're in a very fortunate situation, you can't just, you know, do a hard stop and just like, okay, I'm going to figure it out what's next later. Like, no, let's be realistic. Doesn't work quite like that. But if you're not enjoying things that are consuming a lot of your time, at least start considering some other options.
Yeah, there's ultimately nobody who's in charge of that ship besides you.
Yes.
Sometimes unexpected things happen. Like we've all experienced being laid off. But at the same time, like hopefully you'll have the ability to make some sort of plan. Mm-hmm. And with that said, I think it's also just useful to remember that a lot of things aren't within your control,
but that
you can do your best with the things that are. For instance, the process of pitching anything really is so laborious, and a rejection can be just as much about your writing as it can be about other factors that are totally separate from you.
Yeah.
Less market for original content, they already have someone writing that, they're not being interested in science fiction or something. The list really just goes on.
Yeah.
And you can only do your best with what you have power over, which is yourself. And within that little space, it's important to remember that even the smallest amount of progress is still progress.
Absolutely. You know, if having a goal, what can you do? Sitting down, doing it, like that's the greatest thing. And
yeah,
just celebrate what you're able to achieve, celebrate what you're able to make and invent and create for yourself. That's really cool. And just don't lose track of how cool that is because you're focused on some huge goal that, as you so accurately say, Karen, there are so many things that can get in the middle of that that have nothing to do with you. So you've got to celebrate your own fun, you know, have fun doing things. Don't lose sight of that.
Yeah, those are some real words of wisdom, and I think a really nice way to wrap up the time that we have for this episode. Thank you all so much for listening, and if you like the show, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have questions you'd like us to address, we would love to hear from you. You can send us an email at working@slate.com or give us a ring at 304-933-WORK.
And if you'd like to support what we do, sign up for Slate Plus at slate.com/workingplus. You'll get bonus content, including exclusive episodes of Slow Burn and Big Mood, Little Mood, extra segments of shows like Working, the Culture Gab Fest, The Waves, and you'll be supporting the work that we do right here on Working.
Big thanks to Kevin Bendis and to our series producer, Cameron Drews. We'll be back on Sunday with a brand new episode of Working, and in 2 weeks, we'll have another Working Overtime. Until then, get back to work.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.